SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
Throughout gaming, online casino games are by far one of the most popular hobbies around, with people from various generations and professions indulging in what's been offered. And they really do stand the test of time. Yet, why do these games remain so popular? Well, the simple answer is, it's the knowledge that the iGaming sector has taken from its video game counterpart and how they've incorporated various components to its success. And this will be the topic of today's episode of iGaming Daily, sponsored by Optimove, where we'll be looking at these successful integrations, as well as teasing an upcoming video interview with John Romero, the game director, designer, programmer, and developer of popular video games such as Doom, Wolfenstein 3D, and Quake, just to name a very few from a large sample in his resume. And this is also ahead of his keynote appearance at this year's Casino Beats Summit. And joining me on today's podcast is Ellis Davies, the marketing content writer at SBC, who conducted the soon-to-be-released interview, and just like myself, a huge, huge, huge video game fanatic. Ellis, how are you doing today? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I must say, you did this John Romero interview. I was originally down for the John Romero interview, but due to illness, I had to take a step back, and I've never been more jealous in my life that you've that you've had to do this interview. But I'm glad you did, because the final
product, I
bet you are. the final product is brilliant. I mean, I've listened to the conversation about 3 or 4 times, and there's so many interesting snippets that John Romero just talks about, and not just about his gaming kind of career. He does talk about the integration within the iGaming space and just what people can learn from the video game sector and what they have already learned. Just what was it like for you kind of just speaking to him?
I mean, as a massive video game fan, it was just an honor and a dream. I mean, as you said, it was a last minute thing for me to come on board with it, and to find out a day before was nerve wracking, but yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. And I was just so kind of taken back about how much knowledge he has over gaming as a whole. I kind of maybe naively just thought it was very much just video games that would be his kind of expertise, but as he goes on to mention in the interview, it's mobile games, it's Facebook games, it's slot games. He just has that kind of such a knowledge for all aspects of game design, which I just thought was a huge testament to him, really.
Yeah, and a lot of people, well, some people might know this. I mean, I say a lot of people, it wasn't in the forefront of my mind. When you actually realize a lot of the game developers who are in this industry, I can guarantee you, like, none of them trained to be game designers to enter the kind of the casino space. Their passion and love was video games. And a lot of people stumble into this industry and love it like I did. I was a journalist. Obviously, I wanted to be kind of a sports / video game journalist and entered into this iGaming sports betting world, and originally worked on the website Slotbeats, so it's part of SBC's roster of sites. And I just fell in love with slots. Just fell in love with them from every aspect, to the, like I said, the level designs, the mechanics that I've used, the sound as well. The sound is such an underrated thing with slots. But all that love comes from kind of my also love for video games, and this is the same things that you do kind of integrate with the two. And we're going to get more into what John Romero did say. But before I do, so we'll say the support of today's podcast, Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 56% of the EGR Power 50 personalized player experiences with Optimove. And as a special offer, Optimove are offering new clients a free first month when they buy Optimove. For more information and to claim the free month, go to optimove.com/SBC. I will leave links in the podcast episode description below. So, Ellis, I think we should listen to a snippet from this interview. And this will be talking about how, you know, the innovations within One Games, and just a bit of Romero's history as well.
Well, the Doom engine's a technology
that we created for Doom, which was then used for Doom 2, Heretic, Hexen, and then we wrote a whole new game engine for Quake, which then was used in lots of games like Half-Life and Team Fortress and Portal, etc. We started multiplayer, high-speed multiplayer deathmatch gaming in 1993 with Doom. That was the first time that anyone had played a game where you're shooting someone else in the face at high speed. There were slower games before that, you know, pretty slow, not smooth movement or anything, but it really took game playing to the next level when we added multiplayer. And we started basically allowing speed running with Doom.
Cool. So in this part, Romero talks about kind of the Doom engine and how it evolved. Just when you were listening to this, like, what did you think? What were your key takeaways from Romero there? Because a lot of this stuff with the Doom engine, it can be applied to kind of the slots game mechanics in a way. I know the semi two different things in a way, but at the same time, they're also the same.
Yeah, I mean, when kind of talking about what he thought made it such a good game, he kind of said, you know, graphics are really good, narratives are really good, but the fundamental game design is imperative to a game being successful or not. And I think when you can see him talk about the Doom engine and how that was such a revolutionary engine that ended up being built upon to then create Doom 2 and then Heretic, it just shows you like these are kind of parallel issues that you can bring into iGaming, where if you've got such a good core game mechanic that can then be used for various other games and built upon or innovated in certain ways, but it's that kind of core of the game mechanic that really determines whether a game is going to be successful or not. And then, you know, with John Romero, he didn't just do it once in the one game. He brought in single player, co-op, multi-game, mm-hmm. Like multiplayer games. He brought speed running. So it just happened to be in this one game that they and the rest of the team brought in 7 or 8 massively influential game mechanics, which have influenced so many different paths throughout the game and video gaming industry. It's just incredible.
Yeah, we label them. I don't know where this term come from. I kind of want to take credit that I may have said this, but I don't know if I did. I'm not going to coin it. I'm not going to copyright it. But the founder of first-person shooters, you don't realize that, like you've just mentioned, incorporating multiplayer into his games. Like, he was one of the first to do that. You know, the speedrunning aspect of things, like, people who are outside of the video game or just gaming world, in a way, might not know what speedrunning is. But speedrunning is huge. It's got a huge following, and there's conferences around the world. I mean, not to brag, this is a self-brag. One of my mates, and I'm not going to say his name, I was going to say his persona, is called Vivox. He's the number one speedrunner in Zelda Breath of the Wild when it's speedrunning wow. And feeding every animal on Zelda Breath of the Wild. And he was number one in the world.
That's mental.
But he got invited to these huge conferences around the world. And it's these kind of aspects that John Romero's brought, and you've mentioned about mechanics. If you look into the slot sector, there's so many successful games that are built off slot mechanics. You have, you know, you've got the Megaways. Megaways is a hugely, hugely successful mechanic from big time gaming. And that just goes from strength to strength to the point that actually the Megaways mechanic now is less about the actual game, and it's more about the Megaways being a brand, and people want to be associated more with the brand than the actual mechanic of the game, because that's what the success is. And even another one on this would be Popwins by Avatar UX. They're doing the same thing. It's a brilliant mechanic. It's just great to feel and play the game, but they're building that kind of brand, Popwins brand as well. So that's kind of the cool thing. I think one of the things that I like, and John Romero did talk about this, it's that transfer of what was great in the video game sector and what really does work in the iGaming sector. And it's how these games visually look.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's kind of the core. So when you actually look at if you take the slots, for example, there's two things that you'll instantly recognize or that'll hit you straight away for a player experience. First is the music. That'll hit you. That'll hit your ears. And then it's what you see visually on the screen. And over the last 20 years, video game visually have just shot up and just gone to an unbelievable standard. Yet when you look at the slot sector, it's obviously not gone to that same length, but there are always nice, vibrant slots, and you will always return to the slots that visually look appealing to you, because players love authenticity, but they love beautiful character designs, and you know, you can really tell who's really put a lot of passion into, like, their videos, the slots, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, any kind of game, whether it's slots, video games, or mobile, it's all down to kind of that player experience and how are you going to kind of attract these players to play in games. We was obviously at LATAM last year, the Latin America Summit, and we walked past this Charlie and the Chocolate Factory game, and it was just so bright and vibrant and pink, and you've got all these sweets, and you know, they've got this theme tune playing throughout the whole time, and you know, an hour later you realize you're still humming that song. And those are the
this was in Miami, wasn't it?
Yes, this is Miami. Yeah, yes,
yeah. Another South Park. I won $190 on that machine. It's a brilliant game.
It's a great machine. And, you know, when you're winning money, along with all those kind of other characteristics, it entices you, you want to play more. And it's the reason why, you know, 6-7 months later, we can still remember it so vividly. It's because of those kind of key elements that keep you coming back.
Yeah, we're just going to do another John Romero snippet. And this time he's going to be talking about, you know, a good understanding of slots and iGaming, and specifically core loops, which I want to dive into.
The mechanics mostly lead the design. So the way that you play and the feel of what's called the core loop of the game, the thing that you're doing over and over again, slots have the same thing. The core loop of that game is the thing that has to feel the best, and you have to have really good feedback tied to every element of that core loop. And then anytime you're putting something else into the design of the game, you have to ask whether it is feeding the core loop or not, because if it's not, it's almost like another game. So you always want things feeding into the core loop, because it makes every new element more valuable in some way because of what you're doing all the time.
Okay, so there he mentioned core loops, and as a gamer, it's something I never really paid attention to. But actually, if you look, well, obviously at the slots, you have the repetition, you know, your base game spins, you try and activate the features. So 90% of your game, or maybe 80%, is going to be a loop. It has to be an entertaining loop. When you actually think about video games, like, I never really factored that in. And you spoke in this interview regarding Helldivers 2, the recently released PS5 and PC game, where, you know, you land on a planet and you're essentially doing the same thing. You're doing missions, and you're trying to achieve, you know, the highest score in the fastest time and extract from the island before this horde of either bugs or automons.
Yeah, killer robots that killer are robots impossible to defeat.
Yeah, those killer robots. You're trying to, you know, fend them away, but it's that constant loop that each playthrough is kind of the same. And you have to nail that. You have to make sure that's perfected and people enjoy it for a game to be successful. And I think that was just a great, fascinating insight to Romero, because it does transpire into slot games. Because you are playing these games constantly over and over and over. You have to be enjoying what you're playing, because obviously you're investing money into this. But it was just a great insight, and one that I never really thought about when I was playing video games with Call of Duty, because they're so expansive now. Ghost of Tsushima, Red Dead Redemption 2. These are massive games. Skyrim, for example. The big games, and you feel like you're doing something different each time, but the reality is you're not. You're doing that core loop. It's just designed in a beautiful way.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mention that, because after the conversation with John Romero, I kind of was reflecting on the video games I most enjoy. And I love single player games. That's my kind of primary avenue of games. But I also play a lot of FIFA, a lot of Fortnite, a lot of Helldivers too. And it's just the same game. You're going back and you're playing 10 games of FIFA, which are exactly the same. But it's those kind of, as you said, that 10% of variation, whether it's the gun pools or the players you're playing with through Ultimate Team, it's those small little things that complement the game that make that loop so rewarding to play over and over again. And it was interesting that, you know, John was discussing that and saying, you've really got to think, what are these smaller elements? Are they going to complement that core loop? And if they don't, it's not worth having. You know, it's just it's extra fodder that people aren't going to enjoy. And he mentioned the pinball machine Junkyard. You know, at its core, it's a pinball game, but you've got these mini games added on, or the extra screen and the narrative that takes you into outer space. And it's those kind of innovations that make such a simplistic game format so addictive and so rewarding to play over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm going to go into this next snippet because we are running to a halfway point of this show. We'll just do one final snippet, and then after the break, we'll be doing our top five casino games and then top five video games as well, and just explain why we like them. But first, we'll do this next and final snippet from the upcoming video interview, and it's about understanding your audience and kind of. For me, I want to talk about kind of his point on live service games, but we'll just take a listen first.
But the audience is what's critical in your design, right? Like when I went into Facebook design, it was so critical to understand the gaming literacy level of the platform. And that gaming literacy level is critical to the success of your design. And you have to make sure that you're not what we call overthrowing the receiver when you're trying to do something interesting and innovative. If they don't understand it, your design doesn't mean anything. So they need to be able to understand that. And the way that you get people to get to higher levels of understanding is to slowly step them through the current common level of understanding, and then add one little thing to it and keep them at that level so they're repeating that same thing over and over again, and then go another notch up from there. And then you're starting to teach people how your thing works and how you're designing something new and innovative.
Right, before I waffle on, Ellis, because I do tend to waffle. I kind of want to get your initial reaction first, and I'll bounce off you this time.
I think obviously with your John Romero, you have clearly an understanding of audience. And that was something I thought was really interesting, is that you need to kind of, I think he mentioned the word gaming literacy level. Mm-hmm. And that is such an element people kind of don't understand, but he's a massive video game developer. But then he moved to Facebook games, and I think 25 million monthly players was on one of those Facebook games. So he had to adjust the kind of player base that he'll be catering to, and did it so well that obviously it was a massive hit on Facebook. And it's those kind of elements you don't really think. So, you know, when you're going to a casino slot game, you need to understand the audience you're playing with. So you don't want all these massively complex strategies added onto the game, or, you know, you want it to be quick, simple, but rewarding, and you need to cater to that audience. You know, you can't cram it full of innovations. It's got to serve the game. It's got to serve the player and serve the industry that you're catering to, which is something I'd never really kind of taken into consideration.
Yeah. Avid listeners of this podcast, when I talk about slots, they will use me say this phrase so many times that it should be on our buzzword bingo. But players are creatures of comfort. Humans are creatures of comfort. Like we always return to something that we know and love. So to tailor this to your audience, like you said, you need to know your audience. You need to know what they love. And one of the interesting things I actually did it wasn't in this clip, but it was in the interview, which you'll listen to when it comes out. The fact, like when I think it was Farmville that came out on Facebook, that was like kind of the first big game. And then video game designers were like, this is interesting. Like we need to kind of go into this space and learn a bit more. And if you take parallels to kind of what we're aiming to achieve at Casino Beach Summit with John Romero being there, it's how do the iGaming space continue to learn from the video game space and vice versa as well. And that's just kind of an interesting snippet. Like, I didn't really focus on that. There was just a huge influx of video game developers and designers learning about mobile or social media games from that one big influx of Farmville. And you see it nowadays with mobiles, just how technical they are and just how advanced. You can play high-end games on your mobile now. And it's just a huge subsection of video games, which I didn't really envisage 10 years ago. We are running short on time, but I do want to talk about live service games because John Romero mentioned into something insanely interesting.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't really aware. So I thought kind of live service games were a fad. You know, they've come in, and you have, like you mentioned in the interview, Suicide Squad has just absolutely bombed because of the live service games. Rumors that Hogwarts Legacy 2 is going to be live service has caused uproar, but you have companies like Destiny 2 which have been successful. But he said it's not a fad, and it's been around for a while. And actually, you can actually say live service games can it be incorporated to slots just because of how much money you invest in this? But I just want to get your thoughts on that, because again, he mentioned World of Warcraft as a subscription service is live service, and that blew my mind, to be honest. I was like, he's kind of right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely think there's a distinction between the two types of live service. As he mentioned, World of Warcraft is a paid subscription, and I think there was a Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, very similar. They're games catered for that continuous development, whereas mm-hmm. I feel like since Destiny kind of took over with the AAA video game live service, there's been this kind of, well, we'll chuck out a base of a game that isn't maybe necessarily that good, but we can just build upon it later once we've got the player base there. Once we've made some more money, we can then actually make it the game we want to make. And I think that's maybe where the worry is with kind of this whole fad live service compared to like the traditional subscription model like World of Warcraft, where their whole idea was, we're going to make this fantastic game and then we're just going to give people the option to continue playing it and we'll add some more to it. And obviously it worked fantastically well for World of Warcraft, and I just thought it was very interesting because, as you say, I'd never viewed World of Warcraft and other games like that as live service, but they absolutely are. It's just they've done very, very well.
Yeah, even the likes of DLC, which is downloadable content and expansion packs for Warcraft, it blew my mind. So we're going to take a quick ad break, and when we come back, myself and Ellis, we're going to go through our top five slot games, or not slot games, casino games, and our top five video games and explain why we like them. So yeah, stay tuned.
SBC Leaders connects the gambling industry's top-tier operators and associations to share the best ideas, collaborate on solving the biggest issues, and push innovation throughout the betting and gaming industry. If you're an operator and want to join the discussion, visit sbcleaders.com for more information.
Welcome back. So, like I said, we're going to go through our top five video and casino games. And Ellis, I think we should kind of do this 5-1. Explain best video game, then casino game. So let's end on casino games because we are an iGaming podcast.
Yes.
I'll go first because
absolutely.
It's always awkward for the guest to ask the host. So number five for me is Dino Crisis by Capcom. Overshadowed by the success of Resident Evil. So it's the same game engine as Resident Evil, but take out zombies and put dinosaurs in there.
Equally as terrifying,
certainly when the raptors come through the window. But yeah, that's my number five. I love it. It's a brilliant game for its time. The game mechanics in it are just exceptional. It still stands the test of time, even though it's never been updated. But that's my number five for video games. And my fifth favorite casino game is Astro Boomers to the Moon. And that was Funfair Games, I believe, or Funfair Technology, because I think they changed the name or merged the two together. It's a crash game. Insanely addictive. But if people who know crash games, it kind of originated from the crypto space. And you put a bet on the rocket before it launches, and you have to follow that rocket. And the higher it goes, the higher the multiplier goes. But you need to cash out before the rocket explodes.
And that's brilliant.
It's such a simple premise. But what they did really well was they incorporated kind of that social element where you could communicate with other players and play with other players.
Yeah.
So you all get into the rocket together, you all put a bet on, and you can all like chat or send emojis. Like if you manage to crash out at a good time, or, you know, you keep going and bomb and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I think video game and iGaming are going to excel in the near future. They're already doing it now, is incorporating that multiplayer element to games. So yeah. They're my two. What are yours? Your fifth ones?
So fifth, I mean, picking top five video games, like asking a parent their favorite child. But off the top of my head, Jedi Fallen Order came straight to my mind, just because as a massive Star Wars fan as myself, mm-hmm. I was just crying out for a good single player Star Wars game. That also had, you know, took itself too seriously, but understood its assignment and telling a good story. Mm-hmm. Respawn did a great job of it and kind of incorporating those like Dark Soul elements to it. Like it's a tricky game. It's a rewarding game, but even just a Stormtrooper in what, you know, any other Star Wars game is easy fodder to destroy. Is, you know, it's a task. It's great. I just absolutely loved it. It's such a surprise.
I think it's criminal that it's not on my top five because I'm also a huge Star Wars fan. But what I really loved about that game is the level designs.
And yes.
Even when you look on the map that you're given to you, what's given to you, it's not insanely clear where you actually need to go. So it really does allow the player to explore the map, and the scenery on it is just beautiful as well. It's true Star Wars and what we've been craving probably since my third favorite game on my list, which I'll come to later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, without saying too much on this game, but you know, the way it incorporates puzzles, and it's, you know, each level is kind of just get from A to B, but you can decide personally how much you want to explore and how much you want to replay each level to get the different collectibles, which it's just a really fun mechanic and really, really good game. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of slot games, Gonzo's Quest Megaways, it's Red Tiger Gaming.
Yep.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it has had quite a big update recently, and it's just such a fun game. It's got really cool imagery. The visuals are really, really nice. It's got that kind of Indiana Jones Uncharted vibes with like symbols throughout the game, which, you know, as a big Uncharted Indiana Jones fan, again, that kind of appeals to me. I like that. And then the way they kind of incorporate like these, you know, avalanche multipliers or like the kind of earthquake features that tie into the theme of the game as well, I just thought was really, really clever. Really, really enjoyed it.
I can't say anything bad about Gonzo's Quest just as a franchise itself. I think the update you might be thinking of, I might be wrong in saying this, but I'm pretty sure, is it Red Tiger? I know Evolution, because Red Tiger is part of the Evolution umbrella. I think they created their own kind of universe where they merged a lot of the big kind of franchise names within their, like Red Tiger, I think NetEnt themselves. I can't think of the others off the top of my head, but yeah, their big kind of characters are in the kind of a universe where their slots interchange and interact with each other in a way.
The MCU of slot gaming. I like that.
I think that's how it was pitched or marketed. Yeah, I think that might be the update you're on about.
Yeah, that'd definitely be it.
Four on my list is Toy Story 2 from the PS1 era. Why is a Disney game on here? Why is a film that was just released in conjunction with a game released in conjunction with a film launch? One, because it's a childhood memory game, and if slot games or video games were anything to go by, it's player experience and what you remember and what you remember fondly. Toy Story 2 was that game. But actually, if you go off the core loop that John Romero was saying, each level is the exact same in terms of what you need to do. You need to collect 5 sheep from Miss Bo Peep. You need to find a missing piece of Mr. Potato Head. You know, you need to race RC. These are all the same, and it's a core loop. Each level is different and just as fun and just as engaging and kind of gets every senses of my love of Toy Story, but gaming in one. So yeah, Toy Story 2 is that for my fourth. And my fourth casino game is Dungeons by EvoPlay. I don't know if you're aware of this one, Ellis, but this one might be a bit up your street.
Okay.
This is one, so it's not your typical slot game where you have kind of a 5x3 reel. You are this kind of barbarian figure, and each spin has this 3D character running through a hall or running through a map, and then you kind of fight enemies and they give off kind of XP wins when you defeat them. And then the bonus feature is actually kind of like a dungeon.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so the further you go into that dungeon and get to the end to potentially fight the boss, the bigger your reward is in that game. And I thought it was released kind of 6 months when I started in this industry, and it was like, okay, this is something which is, it's not going to be a big huge commercial success, because again, players, humans are creatures of comfort, but absolutely, I just thought, this is how you innovate, this is how you move forward. And it just, again, taking those elements from the video game sector and bringing it into iGaming is an example. Not to perfection, because number 2 on my list is perfection, but it's a start.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, those niche game formats are, as you say, never going to appeal to the masses, but when they get something right, it just makes the replayability factor of that just so much better.
Mm-hmm. Your number 4?
Yeah, so my number 4 video game wise is The Last of Us by Naughty Dog. Just the first time I'd ever played a game that didn't necessarily feel like a game. It felt like more of like a movie multimedia experience, but just so good. And the acting in it and the story in it. Again, one of those games that was so heavily led by narrative that I'd never really experienced before. And it was just, heartbreaking and beautiful and gory and just everything I want in a video game.
Before you go into casino one, I must answer that I've never finished The Last of Us.
You haven't?
No, I think I got
James,
to.
James, what are you doing?
Spoiler alert. Well, I don't think it's a spoiler alert. I don't even know if I'm right in saying this. I think managed to get to Boston or something, or Washington, one of the two. He was on a horse. I just found it boring. I'm not going to lie. I just found it boring, and the clickers just freaked me out.
Sacrilege, James.
I don't understand. I know the kind of fungi zombies, and I'm a man who loves mushrooms, but I didn't love them. I didn't love them at all. So I just never finished it, but I've always been meaning to go back to it. And I did actually buy the PS5 upgrade, so I might do that at some point.
I absolutely recommend it. And if you haven't seen the HBO series as well, with Pedro Pascal,
I got to the same point of the TV series as I did the game. Right. Stop.
We've got to have words after this, mate. We'll start our own podcast purely on The Last of Us. That's clearly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Going into casino games, we've got the Vikings game by NetEnt. I mean, I love the show. And then when they kind of, I'm a sucker for branded games. So as soon as it's something I like, I'll just jump straight in. And again, it was, you know, how they incorporate these kind of special bonus features into the game and tie it into the theme of the game as well. So you had like these raid spins, you had shield wall features, and you have like all the kind of symbols from the games and the characters from the games. That kind of stuff, I just lap it up. I can't help it. I really, really kind of just, I see something I recognize and I go straight for it. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's like over 243 ways to win, which for a fairly simple game is really good. Mm-hmm. And it's got a high return to player rate. So it just keeps me coming back, really.
Perfect. So number three for my video game is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. That, when I mentioned earlier, that to me is kind of the best Star Wars game there's ever been. The
Absolutely.
Whole, the universe, the map, the way you interact with NPCs, non-playing characters. It's just beautiful. And it's everything you ever wanted in a game that keeps you immersed and just everything you want in Star Wars. So yeah, that's my video game. And Slotmasters Hungry Bear by Hungry Bear is my number three. It's a fairly recent game. I think it was out last year, and kind of similar to Astro Boomers to the Moon, where this is where I think video game or iGaming casino games are going to go in the future. It's mastered, in my eyes, multiplayer slots. So you play the game, absolutely. You get like a sword or a shield, and you play against others, and you get that. If you get that shield or sword, you can then do an attack or defense against other players and impact their score. And I think it's I think it's really cool. And one of the only few that I've mastered in play impact on multiplayer. Yeah. So that's number three.
Fantastic. So yeah, without jumping on too long, Batman Arkham City by Rocksteady. Again, just such an influential game for me growing up, having that kind of open world, Batman, finding all these villains and kind of subplots and stuff. Just absolutely fantastic. The combat was great. The mood of it was great. The visuals were stunning. Mark mm-hmm. Hamill and Kevin Conroy as voice actors.
Rest in peace.
Just you couldn't ask much more from a Batman game. And I think kind of single-handedly brought Batman back into like the cool sphere mm-hmm. of video games. He wasn't, you know, he's taken seriously. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Just confirm, my rest in peace was for Conroy, not a Mark Hamill.
Oh right. that's a loss. But no, absolutely fantastic game. And if anyone hasn't played it, go and play the trilogy because it's absolutely brilliant. And then the third game for Casino would be the Jumanji. Again, another branded one, but by NetEnt as well.
You love NetEnt.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I didn't realize it did, but I absolutely do. again, it's just, you know, high return to player rate. You've got four randomly triggered base game features, which, you know, you've got respins and wild reels. Again, it just keeps it fresh, just keeps it constantly moving. And it's just addictive, mate. It's just really, really fun to play. I think I was watching a streamer play it and he got over £8,000 in one free spin, which was just absolutely mind-blowing to me. But it's cool to see games give you that kind of opportunity. So yeah, love it.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a trend of yours of branded games are your go-to. So let's see if your list kind of continues. Number two, I have to keep moving. Elder Scrolls Oblivion, the Lost Child between Morrowind and Skyrim. Not a lot of people remember this game, but this was the first kind of immersive open world, you can do whatever you want kind of game. You know, you don't have to follow the main storyline. You can go off in different tangents and directions. But like Romero says, it's that kind of core loop which keeps going and keeps you intrigued. And Oblivion is by far the best, most beautiful game of its time. Still stands up the test of time right now. So that's my number two. And my number two for casino game is the enhanced version of Dungeons by EvoPlay. It's Star Guardian by EvoPlay. So what they did is they took what they did with Dungeons and they just excelled on every level. But instead of going down the RPG, the role-playing game, kind of adventure fantasy route, they've gone down the first-person shooter element. So same premise. You know, you've got your 3D character. You can pick a different character who has different like bullets or guns and attributes. Do a spin, move forward, defeat enemies. But instead of, you can do it where it automatically does it like a Warcraft style, you know, where you press one and slashes, or you can change it to a first person mode and shoot the monsters yourself using either your phone tracking touchpad or your mouse.
That's so cool.
Brilliant game. That. Same dungeon aspect to it as well, where it's kind of like a horde coming at you. You've got to like shoot all of them, all the enemies, and you know, they all give off multipliers. Again, not a great commercial success, and EvoPlay themselves, when I interviewed them about it, said they're not expecting commercial success from this, but what they are doing is innovating and taking those lessons from the video game sector and incorporating it into their game.
So, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if we can get Doom-style slot games, give that to me all day long. So I'll take that, definitely.
Perfect. Number two for you?
Right, so number two is easy. The Bioshock. I had to pick one. It'd be Bioshock 1 by Irrational Games. Okay. But all three of them, again, absolutely fantastic. Not only the concept of the game, but the kind of idea of power-ups and kind of abilities to go throughout the game. You can interact with the world depending on what kind of power-up you have. Amazing. And you can kind of go through the game three or four times using different power-ups and play the game completely different every time, but it still be just as enjoyable.
I prefer Infinite, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for it for sure. Again, a completely different game in terms of kind of vibe and what you can do, but just again, a perfect example of that kind of innovation, not for just for innovation's sake, but you know, build upon something that was so good at its core. I thought, yeah, Bioshock did really, really well on all three of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Casino, again, following the branded. I mean, just the name alone, Rick and Morty, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
I mean, what more could you want out of a casino slot game? Again, it's done by, this one was actually Blueprint Gaming, so not NetEnt for once. But six bench features.
Is it NetEnt still on your list, or?
I don't want to give a game away, man. Oh, we've got one more.
Okay.
I want to keep the audience in suspense. overall, just you know, a great example of a well thought out game that caters to the branding. Load of like special modifiers and bonus features. Again, just repeating that kind of core game loop, but adding on to it to complement the game rather than overwhelm people. Mm-hmm. I can have anything really bad to say about it. It's great.
Perfect. Okay, number one. Video game, drum roll. I don't have a drum roll effect, so I'm going to go... Red Dead Redemption 2.
Nice.
It's... Anyone who knows me knows I am a cowboy western fanatic at heart. The story in it is beautiful. The landscape is mind-blowingly amazing. It's just a beautiful game, left, right, and center. And... this kind of links into my casino game, which I'll say in a minute, but the narrative is just, it's the best I've ever experienced in a game. And the only hindrance I have of it, which John Romero talks about, kind of live service games and DLCs, what Rockstar really perfected in Grand Theft Auto 5 Online was keeping those players engaged with the online aspect of the game, incorporating DLCs, different kind of purchases you can make in game. That's what they really didn't do with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because it was an amazing game and it really did have that longevity to it because it had such a great fan base. But yeah, there was that one. And then number one, casino game is a slot game. and it's called Imaki and the Sevens by Gaming One. Now, the best thing about this game is one of the only things I've really seen strongly in a slot game is that it really does focus on the narrative, the storytelling. You have five different worlds. You have to save five different dragon eggs, but there's just a story in each world that you have to keep playing to experience. It's a beautiful game, and I understand why a lot of slot companies don't invest too heavily in the narrative. It's simply just finances. You have to invest so much money into creating these narrative stories. And with just the large quantity of games that get released on a daily basis, let alone a monthly or yearly basis, the costs don't really outweigh like how long it might stay on an operator's platform. But Imaki and the Sevens by Gaming One was just a truly beautiful kind of story, and really took me back to kind of the old playing in school days when it was like Dragon Quest. It had that vibe to it. So yeah, Imaki and the Sevens, Gaming One, you are my number one casino game. I'm going, Ellis, who is it?
Fantastic. Well, I mean, for the best game in the world, I mean, it should be everyone's universal best game, but it's The Witcher 3 by CD Projekt Red.
It's a tragedy it's not in my top five.
I've never had a game like, I had an Xbox, put 100 hours onto that, moved to PlayStation, and then just had to redo it all over again. But I'm so happy to do it. I think I ended up with 250 hours on the game and don't regret a single second. It's just absolutely brilliant. And for the third game in a series, which, you know, the first two did relatively well, but it wasn't like a household name. And now to see, like, you know, you've got Netflix coming into it, you've got dedicated comic books, obviously you've got the book series that came before it, but it's just, yeah, such a good IP that I don't think would be nearly as fruitful if it wasn't for this third game and how much love and care and attention was put into it.
Brilliant game. I can't add to that. Apart from the DLCs, were just as exceptional.
I think there's a point to be made about the DLCs actually being better than the mainline story, which is absolutely mental when you think about it. But again, it just shows you how well they've done. And now, obviously, where they've done Cyberpunk, and that's finally, after a few years, got to that place again where it's just almost perfection. Just shows you, like, you know, it can be done.
Cool. Wrap us up with your favorite casino game. Make it a standout.
Yes. Well, I mean, you may not have heard of this brand. They're called NetEnt. you know, now you can see the theme, but it's not going to be a branded one. This is Divine Fortune. If anyone knows, I absolutely love history. I love that, you know, as with The Witcher, like these kind of mythical creatures. And this one is all based around like Medusa, the Minotaurs, Phoenix. So again, I'm a man of simple pleasures, and as long as something looks visually visually striking, has a cool soundtrack, and you know, again, simple gameplay but effective. So yeah, you know, everything changes depending on respins you get, and you know, there's loads of different bonus features that can kind of make their way into the game, and that's all I need, really. That's all I need to be enjoying slot games. So 100%.
I always say, because there's such a large quantity of like ancient Greece games, to stand out in that crowd, you have something special about it. And yeah, Divine Fortune does have that. Ellis, I need to wrap up. We are way, way over time. but what this has sprung into my mind is we might potentially have a little series here with me and you, Ellis. I think we should reach out to some game developers in both the video game sector and the iGaming space and delve more into kind of the cross collaboration between video games and the iGaming sector, and just, you know, get their thoughts and opinions onto the iGaming Daily podcast.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. That sounds absolutely great. I mean, there's such a big parallel between the two industries that, you know, they work so well together and have so many similarities. I think it would be silly not to. So yeah, I look forward to hopefully appearing again.
Perfect. We won't make it too long. To the listeners out there, thank you if you've made it this far into the podcast. If you have done, it means we are insanely interesting. Any links to what we're talking about, I'll leave in the description below. I'll leave a link to the Casino Beat Summit page where you can see a bit more about John Romero's participation as a keynote speaker. Keep an eye on the SBC LinkedIn page for the John Romero interview that we talked about at the start of the show. And if you've made it to the top five, leave comments in the social section on LinkedIn. What are your top five video games and casino games? Let us know. Just for fun, let us know, and I'll interact with you. Apart from that, Ellis, thank you very much. And to our listeners, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily Podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders Magazine. Happy reading.